Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Advent. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read and discuss our Gospel from St. Luke and read the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Keeping Christ in Christmas. That's the title of the Catholic Advent Mission set for St. Peter, Prince of Apostles Catholic Church, December 13th through 15th. Nationally acclaimed lay Catholic evangelist Jesse Romero will be leading the mission. Each night he'll focus on a different topic, such as the power of prayer, Virgin Most Powerful, and How to Get to Heaven for Dummies. Be there at St. Peter's, 3801 Violet Road in Corpus Christi each evening beginning at 7 o'clock. Mr. Romero is known for his upbeat and Christ-centered preaching. For additional information, call Roger Flores at 361-425-9280.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm well, Barbara. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
It's hard to believe that it's already December.
Right. We're in the second Sunday of Advent already.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful season. Very nice. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went through the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, what first jumped out at me when I was reading this Gospel is, you know, these words were in the book of the prophet Isaiah, but these were the words that John said in other Gospels that we'll hear, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths."
Right. Well, I think a lot of it is for our understanding today, as we know, and we're hearing in our own churches and perhaps other places where we've read that as Advent is that time of preparation, of waiting and preparing for the Lord. But I think, you know, this is 2021. The end of 2021, and we've heard this gospel many times, and probably we go, oh, well, there it is again. But that's means we have no Holy Spirit in us, because the Holy Spirit is always new, always fresh. And so what does this say to us today? What does it mean to us today? So when you look at all these names at the beginning, and their different positions throughout the region, it's just setting the space and the place and what was going on at the time, that the land of Jesus was occupied, really, by the Roman powers. So we have Pontius Pilate as the governor, Tiberius Caesar during his reign. So a lot of commotion and a lot of difficulties and a lot of people vying for positions just to keep their heads afloat, etc. And so when we see in this setting, very difficult setting, the Word of God comes to who? Not to one of them, not to the powerful, not to the ones who were looking for a position of power, but it came to John. And John was the son of Zechariah that we saw earlier in the book of Luke. And he was the one who received the Word of God. And he was one crying out in a desert to make straight the way of the Lord. And he spoke of that every valley would be filled and the mountains and the hills would be made low. The winding roads would be made straight and the rough roads smooth. So we have to think, well, what is he talking about? Is he going to talk about an ecological upheaval, a hurricane or an earthquake? I mean, what's going on here? Well, he's really talking about life. You know, there's many hills and valleys in our life today. There's many winding roads that we get off the path. So what he's pointing out to us, and when he's saying, make straight the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord, rather, it means all those valleys in our life where we hit low points or where we get involved in things that do not speak of God, they're going to be filled in by Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or the mountains that we build, you know, the obstinacy that we give to God, mm-hmm. because we're the center of our life. Those mountains of pride need to be brought down, or we will never hear the Word of God, never hear. So all of this for us in Advent is to, I'd rather say, to open the doors. We can use many images, but it's come to me in my own thought that we easily close the door on God in many ways. We can close the door because, well, we've been through this before, so I already know everything. I'm well aware of what Advent is. I'm well aware of what Christmas is. As soon as Christmas is over, we tear the tree down. We go on to the first year. And we just keep life as this kind of rhythm. So in other words, I already know everything. I'm already saved or whatever it is. And that means a closed door. Mm-hmm. Or we don't want to hear what the gospel says because it is radical. It does call for a change of life. If we were really to adhere, as we talk about the Word of Life at this program every month, we can ignore all of that, but it does call us to a conversion. And that's what John was all about, calling people to a conversion. But you can't convert in the sense of in being enriched, I would say, instead of just changing. It's being enriched with God's life if the doors are closed. So this gospel of preparing the way of the Lord, in my mind, simply means open the doors of your heart. Open the doors of your mind. Open the doors of your actions. We can't be the same old in anything. Mm-hmm. There needs to be stability in life, but the Holy Spirit is the agent of all this. If you remember later on in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus gets in the middle of the temple and he opens the passage here of Isaiah, one of the passages closest to this one. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has brought me to bring good news. So as the Spirit prompted John to call for repentance, a change of heart, an opening of the door, Jesus with the Holy Spirit as well is calling us to move forward and to live our life for God. So this whole Advent season should not be a season of deafness to the Word of God, but a true season of openness to hear in a new way, But only with the Holy Spirit can we do that. Because I'm more and more convinced if we don't have the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. we just go on the way we always have. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit that makes life fresh and new. And it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus left us before he returned to the Father at the end of his life.
So, you know, we have a few minutes left in this segment. What would be one thing that you could suggest for all of us to do during this Advent season to do that?
I would say every day, take the gospel reading or the readings from the Mass, because we have a different set of readings every day. A reading from the Old Testament, one of the prophets, the psalm response, the gospel, and just take time, because that's God speaking to his people. We say it at Mass. We say, this is the word of the Lord. And we say, thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. And we don't even know we're saying thanks be to God, too. Mm-hmm. We just move on. I would say to everyone, just to sit with the word of God. We don't have to be scripture scholars. I'm not a scripture scholar. But the word of God is active and alive, and it will speak to us. It will speak to our hearts. We may be going through something right now in work, family, whatever. And there might be just on a given day something that is in one of the psalms, for example, the responsorial psalm that hits and says something. And if it does, if you have that kind of sense that God is speaking to me in this sentence, stay with it. Spend some time with it. As we would say, to interiorize it, let it come in, not just to keep it in my head and my memory, but let it sink in to my life. So I think it's a good question you asked. So something we could all do at this Advent time is to give God time for preparation, that we really are preparing for him, to celebrate him in Christmas as we prepare ourselves every day listening to his word, opening. And in doing that, we open the doors of our heart. You know, to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, scary, because as we know, we don't know where the wind is going to blow. And it's not that we become people that have no direction. That's not the point. The point is the direction's there, but to interiorize God's word, that it really resounds inside of me, so that in every passage, every difficulty, every decision that I have to make, God's word is there as a light to my steps. And those, what I'm saying is everything of that comes from the scriptures. Your word is a light to my steps, a lamp to my steps. It's an enlightenment to me. So again, it's nothing unusual. I'm not going to be some weird right. holy man, you know, right. But it's just let God's word be your friend. And take rest within your heart and soul.
I guess the Holy Spirit comes to people in different ways. For me, when it's happened to me, it's that little voice in my head, you know, and it's listening to that little voice and acting upon it. Yeah, and when I do act upon it, it's like, oh, wow.
And it's the voice that's rooted in the word. The problem is, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, and I'm gonna move across the world because the Holy Spirit told me, well, you know, come on. So it has to resonate with the word of God mm-hmm. that is alive in us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. You can hear those little inspirations, and it does free us.
Mm-hmm. We need to act on them. So, well, thank you, Bishop. That was a wonderful explanation and a wonderful way for us to prepare for this second Sunday in Advent. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
St. Pius X Catholic School will hold their La Posada car drive-through with a live nativity scene December 16th from 5:20 until 7:30 p.m. on the school grounds, 5620 Galahar Road in Corpus Christi. Included will be tamales for sale. Nothing better at Christmas time than tamales, along with hot chocolate, candy, popcorn, funnel cakes, and their famous Blue Jay Santa. To hear more about this special event, call the St. Pius X School Office, 361-992-1343. Falling in love is such a great experience, but like anything, what comes with it is responsibility. That's the subject discussed in the book Love and Responsibility by St. John Paul II. YCA, Young Catholic Adults, is proud to partner with OLCC, Our Lady of Corpus Christi, for a new series with Father Sam Medley called Catholic Romance, and is based on the late Pontiff's book. Once a month through February of 2022, YCA and OLCC invite you to visit with them on the campus of Our Lady of Corpus Christi, 1200 Lantana, for a discussion of this most important topic. You'll also have the opportunity to learn different styles of dancing after each talk. For complete information, visit ycacctx.com.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this being the first Sunday in December, we have our last Word of Life for 2021.
Right.
It's beautiful. Another beautiful phrase for us to reflect on this month.
Yes, it's very appropriate, of course, to Advent, too. So it regards the words of Elizabeth to Mary when she came to her at the what we would call the feast, at the moment of the visitation. So it's taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. This month, too, the Word of Life is a beatitude. It is a joyful, inspired greeting of one woman to another. Elizabeth is speaking to Mary, who has come to help her. They are both expecting a child. And being profound believers, they have both welcomed the Word of God and experienced its generating power in their humble lives. Mary is the first blessed in Luke's Gospel. She is the first person to experience the fullness of joy and intimacy with God. With this beatitude, for the first time, the evangelist reflects on the relationship between the announcement of the Word of God and the faith that welcomes it. In other words, between God's initiative and the person's free response. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Mary is a true believer in the promise made to Abraham and his descendants forever. She is so empty of herself, so humble and open to listening to the Word of God, that the Word of God itself can become flesh in her womb and enter the history of humankind. No one can experience the same motherhood as Mary, but we can all imitate her and trust in God's love. If we welcome the Word into an open heart, its promises can become incarnate in us too, and make our lives fruitful in many ways. As citizens, parents, students, workers, or politicians, whether we are young or old, healthy or sick. What if, like Zechariah, our faith is uncertain? We can continue to trust in God's mercy. He will not stop seeking us until we too rediscover His faithfulness and bless Him. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Among the same hills of the Holy Land, in far more recent times, another mother who had deep faith taught her children the art of forgiveness and dialogue, as she had learned from the Gospel. This was a small sign in this land, the cradle of civilization, which has sought peace and stability, even among the followers of different religions. And this is a quote. We children were offended and upset because the other children, who were neighbors, said that they did not want to mix with us, remembers Margaret Karam, Focolare's New Current president. Our mother told us to invite these children to our house, and she gave them some bread that she had freshly baked and told them to take it home to their families. Since then, we have been able to build friendship with these people. Focolare founder Kara Lubick also supports us in having this courageous faith. After Jesus, Mary is the one who knew how to say yes to God in the best and most perfect way. This is the source of her holiness and her greatness. She wrote in the Gospel Commentary of 1999, "If Jesus is the Word, the incarnate Word, Mary, because of her faith in the Word, is the Word lived, but is also a creature like us, equal to us. Therefore, we can believe, like Mary, that all the promises contained in Jesus' words will be fulfilled, and if necessary, like her, run the risk of facing the absurdity that his word sometimes brings. Great and small, but always wonderful things happen to those who believe in the word. We could fill books with the facts that prove this. When, in our daily lives, in reading the Holy Scripture, we encounter the Word of God, let us open our hearts to listen with the faith that what Jesus asks of us and promises will come true. It will not be long before we discover that he keeps his promises. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Word. In this time of preparation for Christmas, let's remember Jesus' surprising promise to be present among those who accept and live the commandment of mutual love. Where two or three are gathered and united in my name, that is, in evangelical love, I am in their midst. With firm belief in this promise, let us allow Jesus to be born again today in our homes and on our streets through our mutual acceptance, by listening deeply to one another, and like Mary and Elizabeth, by fraternally welcoming one another.
Well, again, this is a wonderful line from Scripture for us to reflect on this month. And I thought it was interesting in the very beginning of it, it was talking about Elizabeth and Mary being together, but they welcomed the Word of God and experienced its generating power in their humble lives. Generating is kind of an interesting word.
Well, it generates experiences. It generates union with God. It generates a new mentality. It generate means to give new life.
Right.
We generate enthusiasm. I mean, the Word of God, we have neglected it so much in our life, in our Christian life. We read it, but, you know, it just stays there. But if we only understood, like you said, the word generate, how much it can generate in us. It can generate forgiveness. It can generate a change of mentality. It can generate a turning away from our sins. It's the Word of God is God, and it's the Holy Spirit in the Word, in the experience of in the Word, that really brings life. But of course, it takes two. God speaks to us, but we have to respond. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure in your own experience of growing up, your mom and dad probably, "Barbara, Barbara, Barbara," and you just ignored them because you didn't want to hear it, because you didn't want to do what they wanted you to do. Or you didn't want to listen, or you didn't want to go, or you didn't, you know, all these things that we do, and I did it too. But if that analogy were to be carried forth, it's like the Word of God gently calling to us, and we either say, "Well, I'll get back to you," or "I ignore you," and then we stay where we are. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, it's the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. But when the Word of God is awakening in us, it becomes creative. It generates. And that's what the book of Hebrews says. It's alive and active. It cuts through bone and marrow. It's alive in us. And it pulls us out of darkness. It pulls down the mountains of pride. It lifts up the valleys of lowness. And all those things that John the Baptist, you know, spoke of in preparing for the way of the Lord. So.
Well, and there was another somewhere in it, it was talking about trust in God's mercy. He will not stop seeking us until we too rediscover his faithfulness and bless him. Mm-hmm. I think when I think of the time of Advent, also like perhaps Lent, for people, they may say, oh, you know, I stepped away from the church. I can't go back. I can't go back. But just to remember about God's mercy, because Advent is a beautiful time to rediscover.
Yeah, well, if people, and I say this to all of us, you know, if we're saying I can't go to and confess the same sin over and over, I left the church and I can't go back, that means I have more trust in myself than I do in God. So the whole exercise here in any of this is to trust God. I invite any of us who have that feeling that I can't, it means I trust myself. I trust my doubts. No, I mean, this is what Christmas is about, to put everything in God's hands. You know, I was thinking of just the reality of prayer the other day. And most of our prayer in essence, whether in word or in intention, is give me, give me, give me, give me. I need. And that kind of almost a begging moment. And we've heard these kind of sermons before. Mm-hmm. But you know, there is another prayer which is very beautifully spoken in St. Ignatius of Loyola and a beautiful priest named Romano Guardini during the First World War, Mother Teresa, and so many others. But instead of give, it's take. In other words, offering the Lord to take from me my doubts, my sins, take away my, in other words, not take away, but I give you my mind, I give you my strength, do with it what you want. And that's not a prayer of resignation, that's a prayer of self-offering. You know, I give you, do with me as you will. And that's where if we really trust God, then we trust that whatever happens in our life is his immense gift and love for us. Mm-hmm. So we don't have much time to cover that anymore. But anyway, I think just to think of, instead of gimme, gimme, so maybe we can package up something in ourselves and we give it and say, take this gift, Lord, the gift of myself, the gift of my mind, gift of my strength. Do with it. Show me what you want me to do with it.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our segment this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to your company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.